Morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 32 degrees. Today is Thursday, January 30th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Sitkins this week dedicated a new bike shelter downtown. The small timber-framed structure is actually the culmination of a large undertaking to help develop an industry around young growth trees in the Tongass. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
It's a little building, only 10 by 12 feet square, but its heavy timbers and mortise and tenon joinery make you feel like you're in the entryway to a lodge or a church. Now retired high school woodshop teacher Randy Huey built the bike shelter with his construction class last spring after meeting a trained timber framer who had stopped by the shop during an open house to admire some student furniture. Dan Sheehan had just moved to Sitka from Massachusetts. Huey admitted to the small crowd gathered at the shelter's dedication that becoming involved in forest policy was not exactly his top priority for working on the project.
But my primary interest in this whole thing has been as a woodworker. I have enjoyed this kind of project my whole life, and this was really fun. So I really hope it serves well, and I hope that it calls attention to the potential of the second growth forest.
So while it's not connected to a lodge or a church, the little shelter is part of something larger, an effort to utilize the trees that have regrown in the clear cuts of past decades. Andrew Tomes is the director of the Sitka Conservation Society, which spearheaded the shelter project.
And all along the process, the goal was figure out what can we do with second growth timber, how do we use it, what are some of the characteristics of it, what are some of the obstacles that we have to get over, and how do we figure out what we can do with this resource.
Young growth is a large industry in the lower 48, but the economics of timber harvesting are also different there. Much of the old growth is gone. Tomes believes the Tongass is stuck in a paradigm.
Thalasket, we're predominantly log-in old growth. You know, there's still huge old growth timber sales that are happening that are in very important ecological lands that are very uneconomical to harvest. But the system is set up so that old growth is still being harvested because that's what we did, that's what the industry is set up for, and that's the momentum that the agency and the Forest Service is on.
And helping change that momentum is an objective of the Sitka Conservation Society, but they can't claim the idea. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack outlined the transition to second growth in a speech in Seattle shortly after he was appointed by the newly elected Barack Obama. He reiterated his position last summer. But making that transition has not been easy in the Tongass. The bike shelter demonstrates why. First, the Forest Service had to develop what's called a stewardship sale on Prince of Wales Island, the selective harvest of timber in a second growth area. In this case, the sale was at Winter Harbor. Next came finding a mill owner willing to custom cut the logs. That was Last Chance Enterprises in Thorn Bay. Then kiln drying at Good Faith Lumber, and then the cutting of shingles and siding at H&L Salvage, again in Thorn Bay. Marjorie Hennessy, also with the Sitka Conservation Society, says this route was a mixture of necessity and intention.
It's important to have all of those different stakeholders get involved somehow and have their hands on the project, from the millers down in Prince of Wales all the way up to a volunteer who was just putting a nail in the siding. We just want to make sure that everybody understands the importance of young growth and what it could do for our communities.
So what can it do for our communities? Randy Huey's students got a look at a potential vocation. Maybe someone else will see this shelter tucked between the Sitka Sound Science Center and the Crescent Harbor Playground and imagine other potential. At least that's what Andrew Tomes hopes.
The bike shelter is definitely overbuilt, but in doing that, we learned what we can do with it. And people learned how to do it. And now, you know, it's our hope somebody's going to look at that and say, I want a house built out of that. Or, you know, if you're a contractor or a builder, I can do this with that material. Really a showcase piece to sort out the kinks and then inspire on what we can do next.
Funding for the Second Growth Bike Shelter came from the National Forest Foundation, their Community Capacity and Land Stewardship Program. Two other previous Second Growth projects are not far away. Recreational log cabins in Sitka's Stargaven Valley and in Wrangell, both managed by the Forest Service. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A Juneau woman says getting insurance under the Affordable Care Act means she'll take better care of herself. Prior to January 1st, Bonnie Berg was paying up to $1,000 a month for health insurance. Now she's paying less than $100. Lisa Fu has more.
Bonnie Berg spent most of her professional career working in social services. She always had insurance through her job, and when she retired in August 2010, she kept it through COBRA.
I was paying about $1,000 a month and about $250 each quarter for my basic meds. So in other words, it was costing me $13,000 a year just for the dead basics.
After 18 months on COBRA, Berg switched to a catastrophic plan, which cost $526 each month. She paid close to $900 every quarter for two asthma medications. Her deductible was $5,000. In the 40 months since retirement, Berg went to the doctor only twice.
I wasn't willing to pay for any tests on my own. I wasn't willing to do anything the doctor really wanted me to do. So I probably allowed myself the worst medical care of my life during the time that I was paying huge prices.
When the Affordable Care Act became law, Berg wanted to be on a health plan as soon as she could, though she will qualify for Medicare in 8 months.
This is going to save me $4,000 or $5,000 just in 8 months. If anything happens, it's going to save me a lot more than that.
Berg tried to navigate healthcare.gov on her own in mid-October, but didn't get anywhere. Then she found someone to help.
That makes a huge difference. You really need to do a hookup with a navigator who has done this for a few people now, or an agent with Enroll Alaska. It's free. They know exactly what questions to ask. They put it all in the correct format and tell you what to do next.
Berg now pays $90 a month for health insurance. Her deductible is $250, and her maximum out-of-pocket is $500. Enroll Alaska's chief operating officer, Tyann Bowling, says Berg's case is not rare.
We get a lot of very, very happy people that are getting health insurance for the first time, or they're getting health insurance that's affordable to them for the first time.
Bowling says about 80% of people signing up with Enroll Alaska receive financial assistance. Juneau's United Way navigator Crystal Borland says people are also happy to find their plans include free preventative services like cholesterol screenings, colonoscopies, and immunizations.
Regardless of which plan they choose, they can still go to the doctor to get preventative and wellness checks. Just some of those added protections that exist under the Affordable Care Act, I think, is usually pretty surprising for people.
Despite the positives, Enroll Alaska's Bowling says a health brokerage firm has made 1,100 enrollments, but she thinks that should be at least 15,000 by now. She blames the early troubles with the healthcare.gov website.
We lost 2 full months of enrolling people, and those were critical months. That's where the momentum was, and we couldn't get people enrolled. I think that we lost a lot of people, and we lost them for good.
Bonnie Berg was not one of those people. She worked with an agent for more than a month before she successfully enrolled in mid-December. Now she says she's ready to take better care of herself.
I'm going to be putting some thought into my health, which is a good thing for anybody to do.
The deadline to apply for a plan that starts in March is February 15th. Open enrollment ends March 31st and won't begin again until November. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
A Petersburg man facing charges of possession and distribution of child pornography will not go to trial until September, if at all. The former maintenance director at the Petersburg School District, Ty Leif Peterson, has pleaded not guilty to the charges. The judge and attorneys in the case held a status conference Tuesday in U.S. District Court in Juneau. Peterson is in custody and also attended the conference. His defense attorney, Kara McNamara, told Judge Timothy Burgess there was a good possibility the case will be resolved before it goes to trial. Another status conference is planned for March 28th. Peterson's trial is scheduled for September 15th. Peterson resigned his job and was arrested after leaving Petersburg in late October. Hecla Mining Company increased silver production by about 40% last year, according to preliminary results released by the company Wednesday. That included a 16% increase at Hecla's Greens Creek Mine near Juneau. The company reports about 7.4 million ounces of silver produced at the Admiralty Island mine, one of Juneau's largest private employers. In a news release, President and CEO Philip Baker Jr. said Hecla achieved significant milestones with Greens Creek continuing its strong production. In September 2013, the U.S. Forest Service approved a limited expansion of Greens Creek's tailings facility, allowing the company to extend the life of the mine. Greens Creek is expected to produce 6.527 million ounces of silver in 2014. Hecla also owns the Lucky Friday mine in Idaho, which reopened last year after a year-long closure prompted by three accidents that resulted in the deaths of two miners and injuries to seven others. Lucky Friday produced about 1.5 million ounces of silver in 2013, according to the company. Hecla also owns the Casa Berardi mine in western Quebec, Canada, which produced over 60,000 ounces of gold last year. Idaho-based Hecla plans to release full year-end and fourth quarter 2013 financial results on February 19th. One of the applicants for the Alaska House seat vacated by Beth Kurtula says she was a longtime registered Democrat who changed her party affiliation last year when seeking a job. Nancy Barnes says her legislative job ended July 1st and she decided to switch to nonpartisan as she looked for jobs elsewhere. Barnes is one of two applicants who changed their party affiliation last week from nonpartisan to Democrat, according to the Division of Elections. The other was Tim Lampkin. Kurtula resigned from the legislature last Friday for a fellowship with Stanford University. Barnes says she was an active Democrat before making the switch last year. Barnes was an aide in Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins' office last year. Prior to that, she worked for Senator Albert Kukesh of Angoon, also a Democrat. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. 32 degrees in downtown Sitka under fair skies. Stay tuned for NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back at 8:18 with a live interview. Have a great morning.